you have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Even the actual yogis aspire after such success with great interest. By performance of their various practices, who can tolerate separation from him? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna's causeless mercy was exhibited in the great assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was merciful even to his enemy, the king of Chedi, who always tried to be an envious rival of the Lord. Because it is not possible to be a bona fide rival of the Lord, the king of Chedi was extremely malicious towards Lord Krishna. In this, he was like many other asuras, such as Kamsa and Jarasandha. In the open assembly of the Rajasura sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Shishupal insulted Lord Krishna and he was finally killed by the Lord. But it was seen by everyone in the assembly that a light flashed out of the body of the king of Chedi and merged into the body of Lord Krishna. This means that Chediraj achieved the salvation of attaining oneness with the Supreme, which is the perfection most desired by the Jnanis and Yogis, and for which they execute their different types of transcendental activities. It is a fact that persons who are trying to understand the Supreme Truth by their personal endeavors of mental speculation and mystic powers of yoga achieve the same goal as others who are personally killed by the Lord. Both achieve the salvation of merging in the Brahma Jyoti rays of the transcendental body of the Lord. The Lord was merciful even to his enemy, and the success of the king of Chedi was observed by everyone who was present in the assembly. Vidura was also present there, and therefore Uddhava referred the incident to his memory.
Mukam karoti vachalam pungum lam bhayate idim jat krita samaham vande shri guru.
So Prabhupada in the purport here is pointing out that the Shishupal, although he was very envious of Krishna, and his only business practically was to insult Krishna, but Krishna was so tolerant that all the time he forgave him. But finally, at the assembly of Rajeshwar sacrifice organized by King Yudhishthira, when all the assembled kings and brahmanas and the noblemen unanimously decided to select Krishna as the most worshipable person in the assembly, then Shishupal became very envious and loudly he started to insult Krishna. And then finally Krishna invoked his Sudarshan Chakra, the disc, and he killed Shishupal. But right after Shishupal was killed, his spirit soul, right after leaving the body, came and merged into Krishna's body. And that everybody could see. So this way everybody could see that Shishupal achieved the Shajujya Mukti, or liberation of becoming one with the Lord, or merging in the Lord. So here Uddhava is telling Vidura that how merciful Krishna is. Although Shishupal was a demon, Shishupal was insulting him all the time, but still, after killing him, Krishna let him merge in his body. Krishna gave him the success which is desired by the greatest of the Jnanis and the Yogis. The Yogis and the Jnanis, they their ultimate success or ultimate perfection of their yoga practices and the endeavor of knowledge or jnana is to merge in the Brahma Jyoti, which is known as the Shajirja Mukti. But Krishna gives that mukti also to his enemies, the demons that he himself killed. Now this is a point the Vaishnavas use to smash the Mayavadis, that the Mayavadis say the merging in the Brahma is the ultimate perfection of life. But the Vaishnavas say, I mean, that perfection Krishna gives to the demons. So what's the about that? And actually, these Mayavadis are actually demons. And because anybody who wants to become one with the Lord, or anybody who wants to become the Lord, that is a demon. He is a demon. And that's what the Mayavadis want. That's what they want. Like, they want to merge in Brahma, but their ulterior motive is that while they merge in the Brahma, then they become Brahma, and Brahma is the absolute truth. That is, Brahma is God. So when they merge in Brahma, then they become God. And the demons also want the same thing. They want to become the supreme powerful. They want to become the God. And this also has been further analyzed, that Shankaracharya actually came to bewilder the demons. It says that Maya Badam Ashat Shastram Kalu Brahmana Murtina Mayaivo Vihitam Devi Oshura Dimohanaya. Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And Shiva is telling Devi, Parvati, that at the time of Kali, I will be born in a Brahmin family. And I will establish an Ashat Shastra, which means unbonafide scriptural understanding, in order to bewilder the demoniac people. Because in the age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming to distribute the love of Godhead to everybody. But in order to separate the demons from the devotees, Shankaracharya came before Mahaprabhu's appearance, and he separated the demons so that they cannot really, if they are too demoniac, then they cannot take Mahaprabhu's mercy. But otherwise, these people could have created a lot of problems, the demoniac people. And this also, another thing has been explained, that actually in the material platform, we all are suffering from a disease, the bhava rog, the disease of materialistic life. And this material nature is like a big hospital. Now, in the hospital, we see that if there is some very, very serious disease, a person with a very serious disease, a very contagious disease, then he is put aside in one separate part of the hospital so that he does not contaminate the other patient. Right? Although they all are in the hospital, but the people suffering from very serious disease is put aside in a separate special ward. And the objective is that they cannot, so that the other patients cannot, does not become, rather do not become contaminated, or do not catch the infection. The same way, the ones, those who are suffering from very serious material disease, Shankaracharya came and put them in another chamber. That is called Mayavad. and so that they cannot come out and contaminate the less diseased people in the material platform. So this way we can see that that how Shankaracharya was actually a devotee and he was executing the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in order to establish, while he was establishing the Mayavad philosophy. So liberation can be of two kinds. One is a positive liberation, one is a negative liberation. Like in the prison, a prisoner can go out of the prison in two ways. One is he can break out of the prison and run away. He can do that. Somehow he can climb the wall or make some arrangement and run away from the prison. And he may think that, that when he runs out of the prison like that, he will become free. But that is not the proper freedom. When one runs away from the prison, he actually makes his life even more miserable. Then he runs away in order to become free, but as soon as he runs away from the prison, then the whole police of the state starts chasing him. And he cannot come out in the open and live like a gentleman. He has to hide in the forest or someplace. Right? And when they finally when the police catch him, then his punishment becomes even more serious. Even more severe. So the Mayavadis becoming free is like that. Trying to somehow break out of the prison of this material existence, of this material nature. But after they get out of the material nature, their existence becomes even more miserable. And then when they are caught, then again they are put back into this prison of this material existence. And their punishment becomes even more serious. And it is said that actually the Mayavadis, when they think that they have attained perfection, they become stones. At the most, they become a diamond. And they radiate a little bit of rays and think that they think that I am radiating Brahma Jyoti. This is a fact, actually. It's been mentioned. I think Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained that. The Mayavadis, they actually become stone. And at the most they can become a diamond or some precious jewel. And he also says that they think that I have become, now I have become the absolute. But a child in the street is kicking him. So that's why the devotees, they never want this negative liberation, which is known as Shadijya Mukti. There are basically two kinds, the positive and negative. The negative liberation is the Shadijya Mukti, merging with the Lord, or merging in the Brahma Jyoti. And the positive liberations are of four kinds. They are Sharupo, Shamitpo, Shalokko, and Shashti. Sharupo means, in that liberation, one gets the body, the form of the Lord. He gets the form identical to the Lord's form. They are elevated to Vaikuntha. And in Vaikuntha, they get the form of Narayana. They also get four arms. And they are also decorated with nice jewels. They also get the complexion, bluish complexion. Complexion like the monsoon cloud. And they carry the mace, the disc, the lotus and the conch shell. So, apparently, one cannot really make out the form that in Vaikuntha, who is the Narayan and who are his associates. The only way to recognize is the Narayan has a Shribatsha on his chest and Kostha, the certain special gems and a sign on his chest that by which one can identify. Of course, the devotees can recognize Narayana,
for ones, those who are living in Vaikuntha. But for a layman, one who just enters into Vaikuntha, it's very difficult to figure out. Like Sanatana Goswami has explained that when Gop Kumar, one cowherd boy from Vrindavan, when he entered into Vaikuntha, then he saw somebody with, he saw the Lord standing in front of the gate of Vaikuntha. Four arms, bluish complexion, he's carrying the conch shell, disc, mesh and lotus. So he immediately offered obeisances and started offering prayers, glorifying Lord Narayan. And the man, that person said, "Oh please, you are making a mistake. I'm not Narayan. I'm just a gatekeeper of Vaikuntha." So this is how one gets the Sharupa. One gets the same form as the Lord. Rup means the form, and Sha means is identical. Sharupa Mukti, then Shamipu. In that liberation, one gets the chance to live very close to the Lord. And Shaloko, one lives in the same planet as the Lord. And Shashti, one acquires the power of the Lord. He becomes as powerful as the Lord Himself. So these are the four positive liberations. The Vaishnavas usually do not want the Sharupam, the Sajujya Mukti, the liberation of merging in the Brahma. They simply reject that. And they may accept one of these four if the Lord desires. But as a matter of fact, devotee doesn't even want these four liberations. A devotee does not want any liberation. He simply wants to remain a humble servant of the Lord. So that is the most unique aspect of Krishna consciousness. That one is just happy being a servant of the Lord. And becoming a servant of the Lord, he does not desire anything else. He may be given, it said that one, the devotees, although they are offered the position of Lord Brahma, Indra, and elevation to the spiritual planet, but still devotees do not want that. And it is said that the mukti or liberation with her hands folded is begging the devotees, "Please allow me to serve you." So when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, liberation is immediately achieved. He does not care for the liberation, but the liberation is immediately achieved. Actually, devotional service is performed in a spiritual platform. It is not a thing of the material platform. So as soon as one becomes a devotee, he is immediately elevated to the spiritual platform. Now one may say, "Well, but how come we see that he is still in the material platform?" Yes, apparently they may appear to be in the material platform, but actually they are not in the material platform. And this can be exemplified as when in the prison house there are some people, those who are representatives of the king, like the prison warden, the prison in charge, the sentries, so many of people. And apparently they may look, it may seem that they are also in the prison house, but they may be in the prison house, but they are not prisoners. They are just helping the king to manage the affairs of the prison house. And so these people, those who have been engaged in devotional service, they are apparently in the material nature. But actually they are in a liberated state. They are free. The way the king's employees in the prison are not prisoners, the same way devotees of the Lord are not also prisoners in the material platform, bound in the material platform. And among them, the preachers are of the highest order. Like king may have different employees in the prison house to manage the affairs of the prison, but sometimes The king sends his own men to go to the prison and preach to the prisoners that how can they come out of the prison house, and what will be the benefit if they do that. So there are very, very special messengers of the king, and the preachers are like that. They are most special living entities in the material platform. They have been there carrying out the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Lord Godhead. And they are the most empowered personalities to take the living conditioned living entities out of the material nature. So this way we can see that the position of the preachers are very, very special. And for them, the liberation that Krishna gives even to his greatest enemies, then what to talk about the liberation for devotees? They are already in a liberated condition. And individually, the devotees do not desire any liberation. Their mood is, just let me serve you wherever I am. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying that kito janamo ho jatha tuha dasho bohir mukho brahmo janme nahi asho. That in the association of your devotees, I desire to be born even as an insect. But I do not desire to be born as Brahma, if that life is on Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna consciousness, I do not even want to become Brahma. But if I get the association of devotees, then I don't mind even being born as an insect. Because when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, then everything becomes absolutely wonderful for him. Everyone is looking for enjoyment, and real enjoyment is in serving the Lord. Because when you serve Him, then He gives us everything that we need. Everything. A devotee does not have any scarcity. Like when we chant the Holy Name is like a touchstone. By the touch of the Holy Name, everything becomes like gold. So we have the most precious thing, and this holy name is non-different from the Lord Himself. So when we chant the holy name, actually we are having the association of the Lord. The Lord is present, and He knows what we need in order to serve Him. So He immediately provides us with everything that we need. Like time and time again, Prabhupada used to say that don't worry about money. Just become Krishna conscious. And I guarantee you that Krishna will provide you with everything that you need. And we are seeing it also. Like Prabhupada went to America he was a pauper. He didn't have any money. Prabhupada only had 40 rupees in his pocket, right, which equals to about $6 those days. Now it's not even about $4 nowadays. What is $4 in a country like America? And Prabhupada said that he never cashed that $20 that he took with him. And so we can see that Prabhupada started from a scratch, literally started from nothing. And he established a wonderful empire all over the world. Empire of Krishna consciousness. And his able disciples are pushing on that movement more and more, and it's expanding. We are seeing how wonderful ISKCON is expanding all over the world. And there is no doubt that someday the International Society for Krishna Consciousness will take over the whole world. Of course, it will depend on our sincerity. How sincerely we want to execute the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, order of Srila Prabhupada, an order of our Guru Maharaj. So if we are sincere and collectively endeavoring to spread this Krishna consciousness, then one day we will, soon enough, we will take over the whole world. Of course, we don't take over the way a karmi takes over, a king takes over, a plunders the whole country, destroys everything, and takes everything away for himself. No, when we take over, then the whole world will become Vaikuntha. When ISKCON takes over the whole world, then this world will become a spiritual sky. Actually, our temples are Vaikuntha. Our temples are places where there is no anxiety. In the material platform, I mean, no two persons, even two brothers cannot live together nowadays. Right? What to talk about the enemies, and the Americans and Russians and Chinese and Japanese, Indians and Pakistanis, the Christians and Jews, Hindus and Muslims. Right? They can't think of living together. But in ISKCON we are seeing that people from all different countries, from all different religions, they have gathered together and living peacefully, irrespective of the caste, the creed, religious conviction, nationality, pigmentation of skin. And so this is Vaikuntha. Now nobody here has any anxiety. I mean, sometimes some devotee may have some anxiety, but we have to understand that that anxiety is spiritual anxiety. Now there's an arati card. So here we can see that how elevated is the position of a devotee. Right? To become a devotee of Krishna is the perfection of life. Not only the perfection of life, it's the highest perfection. The perfection is also of two kinds, as I pointed out. That the one is to become aware of the fact that we are not the body, we are spirit. That realization, when perfected, it is a kind of perfection. But when one becomes engaged in spiritual form, that is one, when one becomes engaged in devotional service, when one engages in spiritual activity with a spiritual form, that is the highest perfection. So yogis and jnanis, they are endeavoring for the secondary perfection. They simply realize that I am not the body, I am the spirit. But higher than that is the devotee. Yeah, the yogis and jnanis, when they are perfected in the spiritual, in that spiritual endeavor, then they are situated in the spiritual platform, but they are not still engaged in spiritual activity. But the sign of consciousness is in activity. Life means activity, spiritual activity. But the sign of consciousness is in activity. Life means activity. Inertness is death. When one is not active, that is death. So anybody who is alive must be active. So when we are in the material platform, we are active in the material platform, in the material way. Right? But in the spiritual platform, just being elevated to the, just transcending the material platform and coming to the spiritual platform is not the highest thing. then also one has to become engaged in spiritual activity. So, and the spiritual activity is serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And that means devotional service. So we must understand that this life that we have accepted is actually the perfection, the highest perfection of our human birth. And this platform is even higher than the platform of demigods, even higher than the platform of Brahma. And further analysis will explain that this platform is even higher than Vaikuntha. This platform is the platform of Vrindavan, which is the highest abode of the spiritual sky, which is even transcendental to Vaikuntha sense. To become a devotee of Radha Krishna and Govinda. So now that we have transcendental to Vaikuntha sense, to become a devotee of Radha Krishna and Govinda. So now that we have received that most wonderful benediction by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, we must take full advantage of it. Once we become a devotee, then we must close the door behind us, of the door for self gratification, and be totally surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in loving devotion of service. That's what Prabhupada used to stress on time and time again, that the greatest enemy of a devotee is to have still some desire for material enjoyment. And actually when we become devotees, in the beginning we are very, very fixed. But gradually this tendency creeps in, that maybe I can have some enjoyment, some sense gratification. That tendency may be there, but if we are able to chant the holy name purely, then the holy name will deliver us. The holy name will free us from this desire for enjoyment. It's like say we are carrying a handful of mud, right? And somebody comes and tells us that, why are you taking the mud? Why don't you take some gold? Here's some gold, take that. So in the beginning our position is, we still do not know the value of the gold. So what we do, we hold the mud in one hand and with another hand we take the gold. We still think that if in case the gold fails, then at least I'll still have the mud. But we must free ourselves completely. Both the hands should be free to collect as much gold as we can take. And Krishna consciousness is like the gold. And material life is the mud. In this respect, there is a very nice example cited by Sanatana Goswami. Once a Brahmana, very poor Brahmana, came to Sanatana Goswami and started complaining. Oh, why the Lord is so unmerciful to me? Sanatana Goswami asked, why, what happened? So he said that, I am serving him, but still I am such a poor man, he didn't give me any money, and so on and so forth. So Sanatana Goswami said, oh, so you want to become a rich man? He said, yes. He said, okay, go at the back of my house, hut, where I pile up all the garbage, there you find a stone. That's actually a touchstone, so you take that. So the Brahmin, he went there and found that really there was a stone kept with the garbage. So he picked it up and he started running. But now he got the touchstone, now he became the richest man on earth. So after a while, he stopped. He was an intelligent man. He stopped and he wondered, that this man who gave me the touchstone must have something which is much more precious than the touchstone. That's why he kept the touchstone in a garbage pile. So, what is that? Let me go and find out. He must have had something even more precious than that. Getting rich, he just kept the touchstone as a garbage. So, or rather discarded the touchstone as a garbage. So, he ran back to Sanatana Goswami and told him, "My dear sir, I guess you must have had something even more precious. So what is that? Will you please tell me?" So Sanatana Goswami said, "Yes, I will tell you on one condition. That please you take that stone and if you throw it in Jamuna, then I will tell you what more precious I have." So the Brahmin was intelligent, so he went and chucked the stone in the Jamuna and came back to Sanatana Goswami. Then Sanatana Goswami gave him Krishna consciousness. So actually this Krishna consciousness is even more precious than touchstone. Then why should you be attached to some money or some material enjoyment? That's useless. Because unless and until we are totally free from the craving for material enjoyment, we will not get the taste of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it will become very, very dry. Some taste will be there once in a while, but the real taste won't be there. And the real taste has been described as, that cannot be compared to any enjoyment in a material platform. Or rather, any enjoyment in a material platform cannot be compared to that. It is so ecstatic, it is so relishable. I'm sure you all are getting the taste, because Krishna consciousness is spreading here so wonderfully, and unless and until you have got the taste, how can you distribute it? So you must be relishing it. And please distribute that Krishna consciousness. This is the best way to please Krishna and our spiritual master. Because spiritual masters only desire one thing, that is, let Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Let more and more conditioned souls become free from their material bondage. Let them become free from the miserable existence of this material life and get taste the nectar of their spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment? So, if nobody has any questions, then maybe I can briefly I can tell what's going on in India. You see, I am coming from the eastern part of India, Mayapur, Calcutta, and as Guru Gauranga Prabhu pointed out, that I am taking care of taking care of book publication. So I'll first tell about how that is going. Yes, I'm taking care of the BBT Calcutta. I started to take care of BBT Calcutta and BBT Bengal since last year. And prior to that it was a little neglected, so nothing much really happened. But in this year we made quite a lot of progress. Like we already printed one book, that is Prabhupada Lilamrita Volume 2. And that has a tremendous appeal in that side. And other five books are coming out. I'm trying to get them out before the festival. And they are The Nectar of Devotion, the Krishna book, The Life Comes from Life, and We are trying to get Isho, but I don't think we'll be able to print Isho Upanishad. And we are printing, but we'll print the Bengali Bhagavad Gita, a rerun of Bengali Bhagavad Gita and Hindi Bhagavad Gita. Bengali Bhagavad Gita already came out before, but we exhausted what we printed, so now we are giving a reprint. So these five books are coming out, and now the Bengali Back to Godhead is coming out every month. We cannot really distribute. We are printing 20,000 before, but when it started to come out every month, we found that we cannot really distribute all 20,000. We are distributing about 10,000 every month. So now we started to print only 10,000 instead of 20. But there is some very good prospect that is showing up. The prospect is that Srila Harikesh Maharaj is the Russian book that he printed. So he gave us some Russian books and wanted us to distribute in India. So in order to distribute those books, to find out a proper means to distribute those books, I went to the biggest distributor of Russian books in India. I mean, actually, they are the distributor for Russian books in India. It's known, the company known as Vinsho Shatabdi, which means 20th century. That's the name of the company. And I went, and because they are distributing the Russian books translated into Indian languages, and they are distributing all over. And every month, every year, they make 50,000 subscriptions for a magazine called the Soviet Land. And they have a wonderful network and a beautiful setup. And I went to speak to him to find out if there is any way he can suggest that we can distribute these Russian books. Because he is the agent for the Russians in India. But instead of distributing the Indian books in Indian languages to the Indians, I wanted him to distribute the Russian books to the Russians. And at first I thought that he must be a big demon, a big communist friend. And when I went to speak to him, he turned out to be a pretty nice person. And I gave him, I gave him those Russian books. And he told me that he will help us out. And then I also gave him Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita Volume 2 that he printed. By the way, did Chitrakar Prabhu bring you the Lilamrita? Oh, I see. So we gave him the Lilamrita and a few other books, and we gave him the magazines also. And next time when I'm going to see him, in the first meeting I suggested that if he could help us out in distributing this magazine also, Back to Godhead in Bengali. So he did not sound very favorable. He kind of said, well, I'll try, see what can be done. And I knew that was very much of a negative answer. But next time when I went to see him, he himself suggested that he is going to help us out to distribute this magazine. And the thing that completely won him over is the Lilamrita. That he saw that how Prabhupada at the age of 70 went to America and single-handedly started the movement and spread it all over the world. And he was telling that, yes, I am also feeling that as an Indian it is my duty to spread this Indian culture. And so he is totally turning around. And he already gave me some suggestions that how we should do the book, magazine. Few little suggestions, you know. Like one thing is, he told me to put a color blow up in the center page so that people, they can frame it up and hang it. So that will be a big appeal. Because he was telling that, I am distributing this Russian magazine, and people don't really want them, but we are pushing it to them. The village people, They don't want them. Want the Russian medal. They don't understand what communism is. And one time, you see, every year, with the subscriptions, they give the records and pictures. And he was telling that many people wrote to them that this record they gave is some Russian record. He said that we don't like this record. Why don't you? Pictures of Radha Krishna or Sita Ram. So he was telling me that people are wanting to take this, what you are giving. And he has a wonderful network of agents all over Bengal. Every village he has his agent. So if we can get him to take over the agency for Bengali basketball, then I'm sure within 1 year's time we'll be reaching all the villages and having thousands of subscriptions. We already have about 4,000 subscriptions. And about 2,000 subscriptions. But our target is to get about 50,000 subscriptions. So this way it is developing very nicely. And we clearly you know the new Bhagavatam set that came out, the small one. So we distributed those sets. Already about 1,000 sets we distributed in 3 months' time. 1,000 Bhagavatam sets. And now, with every membership, we are giving them a Bhagavatam, a set of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these books are going out and books going out means Krishna consciousness becoming more and more established. Now, as far as the preaching in Calcutta is concerned, it's going on very nicely. The people before used to think that we are CIAs, means American agents. Gradually they are realizing that if we are CIAs, then we are Chaitanya's international agents. The government is also becoming more and more favorable. Mayapur is becoming the biggest tourist attraction in Bengal now. Like, we started a program every Sunday. A bus used to take people to Mayapur and give a tour and come back in the evening. Round trip we used to organize. And now it has become so popular that the 2 weeks before I left, both the weeks, instead of one bus, they had to send 8 buses to Mayapur.
Yeah.
That means about 500 people went to Mayapur, just from our side. And it's becoming very, very popular. Because around Calcutta, there is no place which is as beautiful as Mayapur. Mayapur, Chandramay Mandir. Recently, the governor of Bengal visited Mayapur. Krishna is helping us out a lot. Like the district magistrate, the highest government official in that area, he is very, very favorable. He himself is a Vaishnava from South India. And he is extremely favorable. He is a vegetarian. And he comes to our temple as often as he can. Now, practically 2-3 times every week he comes to our temple. And whenever some big man comes to that area, he brings him to Mayapur. And recently the governor went to Mayapur, so he brought the governor. Whereas the communist government has passed a law that no minister is allowed to go to Mayapur. Actually, the communist government literally passed a law like that. So these are big demons. Of course, governor is from the central government, so he's beyond that. But it's a big thing. And recently, George Harrison was in Mayapur. He was in Calcutta, and Shatrughna Maharaj, he saw him. And George is actually a very nice person. But this happened after I left Calcutta. I got to know it in England when I was there. Dhananjay Prabhu was telling that. And so Shatadhana Maharaj extended an invitation to Mayapur and he immediately agreed. And he went to Mayapur, stayed for 2 days, and on his own he had woke up and attended the Mangala Arati, chanted his rounds sitting in the temple. It was very blissful. And he became very friendly with Kanwa. Kanwa Prabhu is a devotee who takes care of the gardening in Mayapur. He is an American devotee, but he is totally dedicated to Mayapur. And his only business is to take care of the garden. And he is totally dedicated. And from Mangal Arati till evening Arati, all the time, he is in the field. He is bare bodied. He has got tattoos all over his body, which of course you can't see now because he has become so brown. Tattoos are almost invisible. And he wears a dhoti just around his waist, and he has a walkman tied on his waist. And anytime you go there, you'll see him in the field. He is very, very dedicated. So George Harrison also is very fond of gardening. And when he saw Kanwa so dedicated in making the garden, he became very friendly with him. Shatadhana Maharaj was telling that half the time in Mayapur he spent with Kanwa. So this way, a lot of nice devotees are going, nice people are going to Mayapur. And in Calcutta recently we started a program which is also becoming very, very effective. Probably some of you know the pandal programs. Like with tarpaulin and bamboos, we make a huge tent and we used to make programs. But this was very, very successful, but this was very expensive. Because to make the pandal, it cost us about, $2,000. It's a huge pandal, of course. And so recently we started one program that is, we don't make such a gorgeous pandal. We make simply a stage by ourselves, and on top of the stage there's a canopy, and on the floor, on the ground, we spread some tarpaulin mattresses, and people sit on that, and we have our programs. Like every Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we have this program. And we select some areas, we are just making these programs in different parts of Calcutta. We select a park, a nice park, and we make our small little pandal, which costs us nothing. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, these 4 days we go out in street sankirtan around that area, and we go to every house and give them an invitation card asking them to come to our pandal program. And it's so personal, everybody loves it. And in this program we get an attendance at least between 2,000 to 5,000 people every night. We have kirtan, arati, lecture, and dramas played by the devotees. And then we show films and slideshows. And so this way, people all over Calcutta are becoming very much aware of the activities of ISKCON. And in this program, we distribute prasadam to about 5,000 people. 5,000 to 6,000 people, maybe even more. We take 5 big drums of prasad, khichdi, and give it out. And for the prasad distribution also, we don't have to spend any money. Maybe a little bit, but not money. You see, when you invite the people, we tell them that we are going to distribute prasad. So if they can contribute some rice, dal, or sabji, we will consider it as a great help. So people don't mind at least giving some rice or dal or some sabji. So So when they come to the program, they also bring some boga. And in front of the stage, we keep three big drums. One is for dal, one is for rice, and one is for vegetables. So they put whatever they brought, they put in that drums. And actually three drums is enough for making about 7 drums of khichdi. 7-8 drums of khichdi. Maybe even more. So this way we are, the preaching program is going on very nicely. We are making a lot of devotees also, and some very nice educated boys have joined. Recently we got our PhD to join our BBT. Like this man used to be the editor of Macmillan in Calcutta. He's a PhD in psychology. He was a professor before, and he has been in printing line for about 10 years. So he knows printing and publication thoroughly. So I was cultivating him, and now recently, just about a month before, about 2 months ago, he left his job as the editor of Macmillan, and he has joined the BBT full time. He sent his only son to the Gurukul in Vrindavan. He's a very bright young boy, very brilliant boy. Like he's hardly about 8-9 years. And in the Sunday feast lecture, at the end of the lecture, he used to have questions. He used to ask questions pertaining to Krishna consciousness. Very intelligent boy. And now he is in the Gurukul. And I think during the festival, their whole family will take initiation. So in India, this way preaching is going on. Especially in Bengal, the preaching is going on very nicely. And also it will be nice if when you come to Calcutta this time, maybe we can make a program. When you come for the festival, Guru Gauranga Prabhu, how many devotees will go for the festival?
17.
So maybe one day we can have a program in Calcutta, like a Pandal program, with the Swiss devotees. We'll call it a special Swiss yatra. It'll be nice. We'll make all arrangements for your stay and everything in Calcutta. First class arrangement. I know, I mean, we were pretty shabby in the before. I mean, because Calcutta temple was so small and we could not take care of the devotees properly. Especially during the festival. So many devotees used to go. It was practically impossible. But now, I guarantee you, I'll take care of the devotees. Nice work.